You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With 2025 coming to a close, it's a turning point for health promotion strategies around nicotine and tobacco use in Aotearoa. The Smoke-Free Aotearoa 2025 initiative launched in 2010 and sought to focus on addressing inequities for Māori. The parameters for success for Smoke-Free Aotearoa aim for a reduction to less than 5% of New Zealanders that smoke across all population groups by the end of the 15-year period. I spoke to Professor Chris Bullen, co-chair of the Smoke-Free Expert Advisory Committee, about the changes in smoking culture that have occurred across the campaign and what is next for addressing inequities in tobacco use and relevant health outcomes going forward. Kia ora, Chris. In your view, how effective has the Smoke-Free campaign been in aligning with changes in smoking culture in Aotearoa since 2010?
Well, I'd say that we've been in some ways spectacularly successful, because since about 2010, the rate of smoking in New Zealand overall has come down dramatically. So it was around 5 years ago, it was around about 12% in adults were smoking every day. That's now pretty much halved, but there are pretty big differences between males, females, ethnic groups, different age groups, and people in different income levels. So when you factor that variation, for some people or groups of people, it's been more successful than others, and that's probably the biggest challenge we face.
And how impactful has it been to collate the address of different means of nicotine use, especially considering the rise of vaping, under the one Smoke-Free umbrella?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one, because this, what we call the landscape of nicotine and tobacco products, is changing constantly and very fast. So when I first started doing research into smoking, really that was all there was, it was smoking. And around about 2010 to 2012, vapes started appearing on the market, but they were very different from what you see people using today. They were pretty clunky, they leaked, they were not that great, actually. And then around about 2018-19, they changed dramatically to become more like what they are today, like the disposables, little sleek products, which are much easier for people to use. So, and then we've now got heated tobacco products like IQOS, which is around for sale legally in New Zealand, and people are using oral tobacco nicotine products, sort of little pouches, mini tea bags, which aren't legal for sale, but people can obtain them for personal use and are accessing them from online sales. So the whole range of products in that period of time has changed a lot. And so what was a smoke-free banner, it kind of includes all those things, but people are increasingly now talking about nicotine-free Aotearoa. So that's where the conversation has shifted, because of the diversity of nicotine products on the market.
What is the biggest challenge in addressing smoking culture in Aotearoa at this stage, especially moving from that smoke-free Aotearoa towards that nicotine-free Aotearoa, as you say?
Yeah, so I think there are a number of challenges, but probably I think one of the biggest is the really big picture, which is about how the tobacco industry influences decision-making in Aotearoa. So that sort of is behind the scenes. We've got paid lobbyists working for tobacco companies trying their best to get our politicians to make decisions which slow down the reduction in smoking and favour these quite addictive other nicotine products coming into the marketplace. So I think unless we tackle that fundamental problem of industry influence, just as we see this happening in the food space as well, it's very hard to actually get rid of the problem completely. So I think that's one kind of big macro challenge that we have to face. And the other is, when you talked about smoking culture, I think within some population groups, it's still the norm to smoke, even though, you know, when you wander down the road, smoking is really, really uncommon now. But in certain settings or with population groups, for example, people who have a problem with other drug dependence or mental health conditions, smoking is still very common, and they're more likely to die prematurely from a smoking-related illness than they are from the mental health condition that might they might have had for many years. So I think that's one group in the population. And among Māori women, while smoking's come down dramatically in some rural communities up north and east coast, it's probably still almost more common to be a smoker than not. So I think those things are really hard to shift, but they can be shifted, as we've seen across the decades. But it takes a lot of work and, you know, working in different ways than perhaps we've worked in the past, you know, like mass media maybe doesn't hit people like it used to, but maybe more focused, targeted work in communities is probably likely to be more effective.
And could you provide us any insight into the initiatives that might be coming up or the strategies that may be being used to address these inequitable outcomes for certain population groups, as you say, going forward in the health promotion initiatives for smoke-free and nicotine-free Aotearoa?
Yeah, well, there is a lot of great work being done by people who work in their communities, who are working with people who smoke and vape every day, or with teenagers who vape, who want to get off vaping, for example. So there is a lot of great work being done out there by often people who live in those communities and are known. And so I think that's mobilising those kind of grassroots strengths and expertise of understanding how to reach their communities is a really powerful way of helping to shift the sort of social norms in those contexts. So I think we need to continue doing more of that. But that needs to be supported by policies which help to motivate people, like keeping the price of tobacco high is really important, and trying to get rid of cheap smuggled cigarettes. Otherwise people will just find ways to get access to those cheaper products. Because price is probably the most important factor that governments can introduce to control smoking, stop young people starting, and motivate people to quit. And then there's lots of other things that can be done. For example, just keeping an eye on social media particularly, and in the other media, we noticed that smoking is kind of coming back in as being a cool thing in music clips, video clips on TikTok and in films. So we kind of have to keep monitoring what's going on in behaviour and what's kind of becoming regarded as being, you know, slightly rebellious or cool again, and try and get our messaging right to adapt. So it's kind of constant watch the space and being able to respond quickly with good information for people. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about people having long, healthy lives and not suffering from, you know, premature disease and death and incapacity due to problems like smoking. So that's the objective we're all hoping to achieve through these strategies like smoke-free or nicotine-free Aotearoa.
That was Professor Chris Bullen, co-chair of the Smoke-Free Expert Advisory Committee on the status of Smoke-Free Aotearoa 2025 as the 15-year health promotion campaign nears its end, paving way for new initiatives.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.